Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this fourth Sunday of Lent. And some beautiful readings from the church and lots of things going on, too, in the area. And I just wanted to remind people, too, of this new movie that's playing at the in the Kalamazoo area. I know it's at the Kalamazoo 10 Theater. I don't know about in your market down in the southern part of Michigan, as well as in Grand Rapids. It's playing in a lot of theaters. And the name of the movie is Unplanned. And it is this amazing story of this woman who had, you know, worked in an abortion clinic for many years, and actually was the director, one of the youngest directors of Planned Parenthood clinic, and she made her way out. She had an epiphany, so to speak, a real revelation in her life, and now she, this movie is just captivating. And so I really encourage you and your family members to go to it, you know, buy a copy of the DVD when it comes out, and to really support this movie. And it's about life. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people suffering out there, people who have had abortions and people who have, it has happened in their families. They say it's, in every church, every Catholic church, any church, I would imagine, depending on their liberality of thinking that it's okay, but just as a small number, 20 to 25% of the people that are in your congregation, sitting next to you in the pews, and they need help. They need help, my brothers and sisters. They need forgiveness. They need healing. They need forgiveness from the people who said it was okay, you know. They need healing. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's a gigantic mistake that we have made in the last 50 years throughout humanity. And we need to fess up to it. We need to, say, yeah, this has been one of the worst decisions we've ever made, as human beings on planet Earth. This isn't God's decision. This isn't something to blame God about, or it's God's fault. You know, there's plenty of food here for everyone. There's plenty of clothing. There's plenty of places for, but we become so selfish, terribly selfish. And I just encourage people to go to this movie. The movie is Unplanned, and the website is unplannedfilm.com. And to support that in any way you can. Especially during this Lenten season, and of course the 40 Days for Life, and of course Rachel's Vineyard is another great resource, as well as Silent No More. And I'll try to recap that at the end of our program here. But we have some beautiful readings today. You know, the story of the prodigal son, or the prodigal daughter, if you wish. Some people would even say that it's the story of the prodigal father, a story about God. And it, indeed it is that. There's multiple people in this picture, in this portrait that Rembrandt painted of the prodigal son, which is probably the most classic and most beautiful. And I encourage you to go online to look at Rembrandt's masterpiece of the prodigal son. And he's got two that actually hang in my home. The one where the prodigal son is at the beginning of his journey, and he has the large stein of beer raised up, and he's having a good time. He's got a girl on his lap, and he's just having a big party. And then it shows, as a few years go by, he is in ruin. He is eating pig slop. He is barely alive. He has gone out into the big world, out into the outer darkness, and has ruined his life. and the Father welcomes them back. So let us continue with that, and many of us can relate to that. And then, of course, there's the righteous son, right, or the righteous daughter. Put yourself in that position of who they are. But it's the motif that runs throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, especially in the Old Testament, of the two sons, the two son stories. And you can look at that in our Jewish brothers and sisters will attest to this, you know, as well as I think some of our Muslim brothers and sisters will attest to this too. And maybe even be a conversion point for some of our Muslim brothers and sisters. You know, this battle between Esau and Jacob, right? Jacob, who is Israel, right? And that's where the split begins, you know, where many people will say, many scholars will say, you know, that the brothers and sisters of Esau, you know, somehow that over time, you know, over 700-800 years that developed into, you know, the Muslim religion, or those, the Persian people and that area and that whole region, the Arab people. And then, of course, Jacob with, being Israel. And, I just think it's available to us today. You know, what am I doing today? What does my today look like? You know, we can always talk about history and what they did back then, but what am I doing today? What is my history going to be? Is my history going to be based in peace and love and forgiveness? Or is it going to be based in war and conversion by the sword? And, you know, you either, you know, convert to Mohammedism, or we chop your head off. Or, you know, how in this country, you know, we have no problem with opening up different churches and mosques and things like that. But try to open a church in Afghanistan. It's not going to happen, right? And we see this imbalance. And this imbalance will not stand. Freedom is going to win. That's what makes this country so great. And yes, makes it greater than any country on earth. You know? And I also want to mention too, to our brothers and sisters who served in Vietnam. And I had a brother who, have a brother, thanks be to God, who served in Vietnam and came back alive, thank God. But to offer them, this last Friday was Vietnam Veterans Day, to honor Vietnam veterans. And so, if you know a Vietnam veteran, thank him for not only his service, but his sacrifice, right? Many of them, health problems, many of them who came back here were treated terribly, awfully. And we need to ask to be forgiven. We need to say we're sorry to those veterans, who've, many of them, over 55,000, gave their lives. So let's think about that too today, during Lent, as we head through Lent, of our brothers and sisters who were in that war, that conflict, in a very real way. Pray for them, and bless them, and offer them your love. So let us begin our readings for this March 31st, fourth Sunday of Lent. And our first reading is from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover. On the evening of the 14th of the month, on the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate the produce of the land and the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate their yield of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our responsorial psalm is Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your face may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, and all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteous of God in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is the gospel of Luke, chapter 15, 1 and 3, 11 through 32. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected his belongings and set off into a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine, and he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed. But nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up, went back to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost, but has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has had him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are always with me. You are with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, wow, some just powerful, powerful readings, my brothers and sisters. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're glad you're with us here today on this fourth Sunday of Lent, heading towards Easter. You may notice in the background, our background music is always the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who are in Ann Arbor. They have a place over in Detroit. But I encourage you to purchase their CDs or anything they may have. That is the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And you may notice the music that we're playing is Christmas music. We're playing the Little Lent music. Christmas is sometimes called Little Lent. And Easter, of course, is Big Lent, right? We listen. Listen to this beautiful music. So this is quite beautiful. So we're listening to that. That's our background music up and through Easter. And then we put on another Dominican Sisters of Mary CD on for the rest of our programs. But wow. We listen to this, and what is it about, my brothers and sisters? It's about repentance, right? This great mystery of the Holy Spirit from our psalm reading. The church really doesn't have an exact teaching on this from Joshua, but it's talking about the Eucharist. See? This foreshadowing of the Eucharist, these unleavened cakes and parched grain, right? That are consumed. That is the Holy Eucharist, my brothers and sisters. Come home to the Catholic Church. Come home. Receive the Holy Eucharist. And if it's been a long time since you've been away, that's what the rest of the readings are about. Preparing ourselves. That's what Lent is about. Preparing ourselves. Some of the mistakes that we've made. We've all made mistakes, my brothers and sisters. We are all sinners. Some of us, terrible sinners. But God wants to heal us. Heal us of that sin. That is what the prophecy is all about. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what this family is all about. That's what calling God our Father is all about. See? Jesus is our Father. God is our Father. Jesus is our brother, our Savior, our Savior. So praise be Jesus Christ. But these other readings talking about 2 Corinthians, this baptism, becoming a new creation, a partaker in the divine nature, a co-heir with Christ, the gift of grace through baptism. Whether it be infant baptism, adult baptism, middle age baptism, old age baptism, it's all baptism. You understand that? I make that very clear to my Protestant brothers and sisters. You know, I was watching a program the other day, and they were talking about how we don't do the sign of the cross. Basically, only Catholics and the Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, still make the sign of the cross. The majority, vast majority of Catholic Christians, Orthodox Christians, make the sign of the cross. Why don't you make the sign of the cross? I suggest a book, a very good book, if you're in a Bible church or a Christian church, or if you're a practicing Muslim, or you're practicing Seventh-day Adventism, or one of these other fractured Mormonism. Read this book of The Great Heresies by Hilary Belloc. The Great Heresies of Hilary Belloc. And you may find, because you know what? The old heresies are here today. They're still here. They're still practiced. You know, and the words still come out of people's mouths, you know. You don't need to make the sign of the cross. You don't need to get your children baptized. You know. These heresies have been around. It's heretical. They're lies. They are lies, my brothers and sisters. And it's very easy to believe a lie. It's very easy to believe an untruth. But we have to make a choice. And so let us continue on with our gospel reading. This beautiful sharing of the table with sinners. Jesus is, right? Sharing, Jesus is admitting them to the messianic banquet. Forgiving their sins. And that's another thing, you know, that people get all upset about. Oh, the priest forgiving sins. The priest acts as the man, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians also makes that clear, where Paul is saying, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. See? Entrusting us as God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled. Repent. Repent for your sinfulness and come back to God. Come back to the church. And of course, this is what the prodigal son is all about, right, my brothers and sisters? Coming back to Christ. But look what happens. There is repentance in this also, right? The prodigal son, of course, you know, this terrible thing that he says to his father, give me thy inheritance, basically telling his father, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. I have bigger things to do, better things to do. But they're both, the younger son and the older son, are both great sinners. See, my brothers and sisters? They are. Because when the son comes back, well, let me take it one piece at a time. So he's a great sinner because he leaves, wishes that, you know, give me my money. Dad, I wish you were dead. I'm out of here. He's saying that to God. We say that to God when we decide to go get drunk, to live the lifestyle that we want to live. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live the way I want. Nobody can tell me. It's my right. And even if I want to take the life of my own child, I can do that. And you can't tell me otherwise. Sin. That's sin. And what happens? We end up being broken down. But look what he does. He comes to his senses and he confesses firstly to God. He says, forgive me, God, for I have sinned against you and my Father. Then what does he do when he comes to the Father? He confesses it again. See, reconciliation, my brothers and sisters. We don't just hurt God. We hurt our families. We hurt ourselves. We hurt ourselves horribly. But what does this righteous son do? What does this righteous son do? He won't come into the house. What does that mean? He is outside of the church. I'm not going in there. I disagree with this. I think many church people do not come back to the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church is too merciful. Yes, that's right. Too merciful. Do we make mistakes? Oh yeah, just look at the papers. A lot of people should have thrown in jail a long time ago. And there's still more, I'm sure, probably to go. And let them go. Let them be cast out. Let them be excommunicated. And let God choose, and God will choose and decide what their fate is, heaven or hell. God will decide. But you think about this, how the righteous son, and in this painting from Rembrandt, I tell you, you need to get a copy of it. It is so beautiful. And in the upper left-hand corner, you will see the face of a woman watching everything. Just as Mary watches us, the mother, the Blessed Mother Mary, watches over us, hoping that things work out, praying for us always, always hoping for the best, as mothers always do, always hoping for the best, that things work out with families. But if you look at that picture with Rembrandt, Rembrandt has painted himself into it. There's the son who's on his knees, and the righteous one who's actually standing on a step just above his father. And what has he done? Elevated himself above God himself. We have lots of churches like that. We have lots of religions, even whole religions like that. Right? That we have decided what God is like. Whether it be the Muslim religion or the Mormon religion or the Seventh-day Adventism or the Bible churches, they have all decided that they know better than the church that has been around for almost 2,000 years. That they know better. That they stand on this ledge above the rest of us as the great righteous ones standing outside of the church. And this represents in a certain way that. See? And in some ways we all like a little bit of being a little overly righteous. But I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's probably the greatest sin of all, because we're using God as a weapon. See? God is a weapon. He's my weapon. And all the mercy is gone. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go through this week, let us ask ourselves, am I reconciled? Am I reconciled with God? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do I follow a club or a group or a pastor or a cleric? Who do I follow? Do I follow Jesus Christ? Because Jesus tells this story to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Or the Pharisees and the scribes. He tells them this story. And he tells them this story to teach them about how merciful God is and how unmerciful they are. Wow. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to go to this movie, Unplanned, thefilm.com. Go to that. See that. Enjoy that. And we're running out of time. So may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.